We are in lesson number two now of Christians and Finance, and we are going to change gears this week. Last week we went through, I can't see you there. Last week we went through all the some of the spiritual ramifications of money, the blessings that can be found with money, some of the great dangers that are involved with money. And if you didn't get a chance to hear that, we've got our own website now, so you can go there. There's a recording of it, and the PowerPoint slides that we did last week were there as well. What's that?
So we're podcasting.
No, it's just an MP3. Just download it. nothing fancy, but you can listen to it if you want. So starting this week, we're going to shift gears. We're going to switch to a video series and start getting down to the nuts and bolts of how you manage money. We're going to do savings today. This video series is done by a guy named Dave Ramsey, who some of you may know. He's a Christian financial counselor who has a radio show and does about a 13-session seminar called Financial Peace University that just goes through a lot of basics about finance. This series for teens and college-age folks is pulled from that larger series, so it may look a little disjointed from time to time, but I think it's pretty good. I've watched the whole thing, and I think it'll be enjoyable. And we're gonna slow down as well. I'm sorry we had to get through so much last week that we didn't really have a whole lot of time for discussion and such. But I think we're gonna have more time now. So if you have questions when we're done with this, feel free to raise your hand and ask them. If I'm inexperienced, I am inexperienced as a teacher, so I'll probably forget to invite comments, but feel free, go ahead and raise your hand, and yes, if you have a question.
Are we suggesting filling out the little blank gray media?
Yes, you are. So if you don't have a book, then you lose! Right, so here's some random assortment of pens and pencils, and let's see. Warren needs a book. Have a book. Okay. Book. Yeah. Who else didn't get? Did anyone else not get a book last week? Oh right, you too. We're gonna need more books. All right, we'll. So we're gonna do lesson one, and we're not gonna necessarily go through all the stuff that the book talks about. Afterwards, I've got something else to talk about afterwards, but I would fill in the blanks as he goes through it, and he'll put up the words on the screen so you'll know what to do. But I think it helps in just remembering what he talks about to do it that way. So let's start this, and then when we're done, if you have any questions about it or comments, then feel free to ask. Hey guys, this is David White. Thanks for listening to this MP3 of lesson number 2 in our Christians and Finance series. Sorry we can't put the Dave Ramsey stuff up online. We're allowed to show the video in class, but it's copyrighted. We're not allowed to put it on the website and stuff, so we can't do that. Instead, what we're going to do is pick up where the video ends, and the rest of my lecture begins now.
All right.
How'd you like that? Was that interesting? I thought it was pretty cool. He's an interesting guy. He makes it, yeah. He talks about in the beginning of the workbook, I think he talks about how he was back in the 80s, he was like around in his 20s, and he became a millionaire himself on real estate, and then he lost it all, I think, in some making bad decisions or whatever. He lost everything he had and went bankrupt and started all over again and figured out how to do things right the next time and became a millionaire again. So now that's kind of his story. So he's an interesting guy to listen to. Do y'all have any questions or thoughts about that video? Yes.
Okay, so
do you want some more coffee? Good. Nope. Never mind.
You were putting money, like his emergency fund thing. Mm-hmm. He was talking about a money market.
Yes.
Account. Could you also put that in like a savings account?
Yes, you could. And we're going to, next week, I'm going to talk more about what money market accounts are and CDs and savings accounts and stuff. You could put it in a savings account. The advantage of the money market is going to be that it'll earn more, and it's going to have a little bit higher minimum to get into maybe than a savings account, and you won't be able to. Well, you could still get your money out pretty much as easily, but it'll probably pay a little bit more than savings. But we are going to do that next week because that is a good point. So we've got about 20 minutes left. I wanted to talk about one of the things that he went over in the video that he kind of went through fast, probably just for the sake of time. But it was the chart that he talked about, the two guys who do the savings, Ben and Arthur, one of whom starts early and the other one who starts later but puts in a lot more. And when I was about your age, just out of college, I went to see a financial planner, Rob Mitchell. Some of you may know who he is. He's a stockbroker, fine Christian guy in Greensboro. And he showed me a chart like this. And Dave Ramsey said, if you get this chart, it will change your life. It can make you a millionaire. And I can say it really did change my life. I probably would not be teaching this class if it wasn't for finding out about a chart like this and just learning what was possible. I was amazed at what could happen if you did it right. So, let me see. Yeah, I think I got what I need. So, let's go over what he talked about in that example and see how it works. Here's our chart. Let's start with Arthur. So now what we've done is set it up so that we've got, can you see, is this podium in the way? You okay? Okay. So we've got about a 45-year span here. Here's 2008, and we're going to assume that Arthur and Ben are about age 20, let's say, and they're going to invest for their whole working life to about age 65. So we've got 45 years to work with. I was figuring you guys were sort of around the age of 20. So Arthur is going to do absolutely nothing for 10 years. For whatever reason, he's like, well, I don't have any money right now, or I've got a lot of expenses. I'm in college. I can't really afford to save anything. So I'm not going to do anything for a while. So he gets to 2018, and he says, well, 30 years old now. I guess I better start thinking about retirement. It's time to start doing something. So I'm going to put in $2,000 a year, $166 a month, and I'm going to do that for the rest of my working life. So for the next 35 years, I'm going to put in $2,000 towards retirement. So here's what he's got. Nothing here until 2018. Then his money's going to grow up to $70,000 at the end. Now, before I go on, did you guys get the distinction of interest? Like, do you kind of understand how interest works, compound interest and such? Okay, I will go there. Not everybody does. So interest, let's say you've got two types of interest. You've got simple interest and compound interest. So let's say you take your $100 to the bank, and they're going to give you 10% annual interest. They wouldn't really. That's way more than they would ever really give you. What bank is that? Buddy, if you go to that bank, you are in the money. No, you're not going to get 10%, but today you are. 10% for your $100 every year. So you simple interest, you go to the bank at the end of the year, and you say, I'd like my money, please. And they say, okay, 10% of your $100, here's your $10. Okay, 10% of $100. And they say, and you say, thank you very much, you take your money home. Next year you go back and say, like my interest, and they say, okay, here's your $10 again. So every year you're going and you're getting $10 for your $100. That's your simple interest. You're taking that home with you. Now, compound interest would be if you have your $100 in there, go to the bank at the end of the year, and they say, here's your $10, and you say, thank you very much. You know what? I'd like you just to put that money right back into my account, please. And they say, okay, we'll do that. Now you've got $110 in the bank. You go back the next year, and they say, okay, time for your interest. You've got $110 in here. 10% of that is going to be $11. So they're going to give you $11. And you say, that's great. Thank you. Now I'd like to put that back in my account, please. They say, okay, great. So you put that back in next year. So you've now got $121. You go back, and they say, okay, Here's your interest. It's now $12.10. So that's how compound interest is going to work. Every year, it's getting more and more and more, because it really is like a snowball. It's starting off small, but it's picking up more and more and more every time it goes around. Every year, it's going to be a bigger amount, from $10 to $11 to $12.10, and so on. That's how compound interest is going to work. All right, so compound interest is going to be working for Arthur from the beginning. He's putting in $2,000 every year, but his money is going to be growing faster than that because the interest is going to be picking up. Look and see what happens to his money at the end. So 45 years later, he has made $672,000. Not bad at all. So you see here, nothing happened in the first 10 years, and now he's putting in money, but the compound interest is building up, and it's making his money rise up faster and faster and faster. So this curve is not a straight line like his money is. It's starting to jump up like that. So he is making some pretty good money over those 45 years. Now, let's see, is there anything else I want to say on that? Nope. Now, here's Ben. He's going to be our other guy. Now, he is going to start right away. It's 2008. He says, you know, I'm 20 years old, but I really need to start thinking about this. I need to start thinking about my retirement. I'm going to invest right away. I'm going to use the same investment that Arthur does. I'm going to also put in $2,000 a year. So he does that. And then he gets to 2018, and he says, for whatever reason, you know what? I'm done. I've put in as much as I want to. I'm going to quit. I'm just going to let my money keep going. I'm going to let that compound interest build up. But for now, I am just done. So that's all he does. So it's a little hard to see here. So he puts in money up to 2018, and then it's just a flat line the rest of the way. $20,000 is all that he put in. Now, his compound interest is going to be working as well. It's going to start right here, 2008, because that's when he put in his money. And even though he stops here, compound interest will still keep building up and increasing his money. Here is what happens with Ben. 45 years later, he has $1.1 million. Now, I think that is incredible. That chart just blew me away. Look at what he did. He spent only $20,000. Where'd my pointer go? There it is. $20,000. Arthur spent more than three times as much money as he did. Over 45 years, he put in $70,000. Ben only put in $20,000. And yet, Ben made almost double what Arthur made. In the end, he became a millionaire. The reason that happens, the reason he was able to make so much money, is because he had compound interest, but they both had that. They both had that working towards them, but he had time on his side. That's what made the big difference. Time and money, the amount of money you spend and the amount of compound interest you get, are going to make the difference in how much wealth you get. And the interesting thing is, of those three things, time, money, and compound interest, the least important of them turns out to be the money, the amount of money you put in. Look at Arthur. He put in three times as much money. But the time that Ben had was what put him over the top. It was the amount of time he had to let his money grow that really pushed him to be so much richer than Arthur was. Let me show you how that works. So here's just Ben's again. Look at some of these early years here. Here is Ben at year 10. $36,000. Now, he's at 2018, 10th year, so he has stopped. He's only put in $20,000. He's quit. He's done his investing. He's made $36,000. That's pretty good. Not really very, very close to being a millionaire, but he's made a pretty good amount of money. Now, between year 10 and year 11, he's going to make $3,700. And between year 11 and 12, he's going to make $4,186. That's pretty good. I mean, that's nothing to sneer at. $3,700, $4,100. But he's really not very close to being a millionaire, and these amounts of money are not getting him very close to his final goal. And he's already, you know, at this point, 12 years into it. The question is he in trouble at that point? Well, he's not. And the reason for that is because of over here. Look at this. Here he is at year 41. By now, he has $797,000. Between year 41 and year 42, he's made $83,000. Just like that. Now, remember, he's not putting in any more money. He's not doing anything. He's just sitting back and watching his money grow. He's just watching that compound interest grow. But he's not making $3,700 anymore. He's making $83,000 over here. Look at year 43. He's made another $92,000 in the course of a year. Another year, he's made over $100,000. And by that 45th year, he's added another $112,000. That is the power of time on your side, because it is those last few years where all of the magic is really going to happen. And you can see the difference between these dots from here to here to here to here is not that great. This rocket is not taking off very fast, but once it gets going, these are big jumps right here between those dots. The amount of money that he made in those last few years really made the difference. So look, go back to Arthur here for a sec. Arthur had the same kind of graph, remember? His is going up like that too. Problem is that his stopped right here. Now, if he could just magically added some more years, you know, his graph might have gone up more like this as well. But the problem was he ran out of time. He's hit retirement. And, I mean, in reality, yeah, you could keep investing, and you probably should, but for this example, he's just out of time. He can't let his money grow anymore. Ben, because he started earlier, got this extra 10 years of growth that really pushed him way into, you know, the millionaire range. Look at it one other way. Here he is at year 27. He is halfway through his working lifetime. He is halfway through the amount of time that he's got to invest. And at this point, he's only made about $200,000. $200,000, not bad at all. But that's still not very close to being near the end. How is he going to get to be a millionaire if he's already halfway through his working life and he's not there yet? Well, the answer is, it took him $27,000, 27 years to make $200,000. How long is it going to take him to make another $200,000? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 years. It took 27 years to make $200,000. The next $200,000 is only going to take 7 years. How many is it going to take to get to $600,000? It's going to take 1, 2, 3, 4 years. To get to $800,000, it's only going to take about 3.5 years. And to get to a million is only going to take about 2.5 years. And then 1,000,001 is going to take about 1.5 years. So that's amazing to me, that it could take 27 years to get to 200,000, and he doubles it in only another 7 years. That is what time will do for you. I'll show you this one more way. Let's say you're going to invest, you're 20 years old, and you say, you know what, my retirement's coming up, but I'm going to wait a little while. I'm not going to start right now. I'm just going to wait a year or two, and then I'll start thinking about putting money into my retirement account. What is it really going to cost me if I wait? Using this chart, if you waited 1 year to invest and you're only investing over the course of 44 years instead of 45, it will have cost you $112,000. That's what waiting for 1 year costs. If you wait for 2 years, total is now $215,000 of money that could have been gained if you'd had those extra 2 years. 3 years, $307,000. Here's the rest of the chart. So if you get to age 30, you've waited 10 years, you've lost the ability to make $750,000. If you wait till you're age 35, almost $1 million in lost opportunity just by not starting soon. Now, the point of that chart is not to scare you and make you panic if you can't immediately start putting money in, like, right now, right this very, you know, go to the bank and open up an account tomorrow. I don't want you to do that. I want, and so let me go back to the other chart. It's a little more encouraging. But but the point, like Dave Ramsey said, the point is just to get started now. Get started if you can. You say, well, I don't have $2,000 a year to invest, $166 a month. I can't do that. That'd be great if I could, but I can't. That's okay. I understand. But could you put in $1,200 a year? Could you put in $100 a month? Could you put in $600? Could you do maybe $50 a month? Even $25 a month? Are there, you know, could you not go to Starbucks a few times? Could you not go to McDonald's? Could you, you know, buy a cheaper MP3 player than an iPod or something? Download music. Here's an idea. If there's a CD of music you really like, just steal it off the internet. No, don't do that. Don't steal music. But if there's a CD that you like, then go buy the tracks off iTunes or something. Buy the ones you like and don't buy the whole CD. It's just a few bucks here and there, but $2,000 or $1,200 or $600, not a whole lot of money. And remember, he stopped after 10 years. I don't recommend you do that. I would suggest you invest your whole lifetime and keep going. I don't have a chart to see what would happen if he had done $2,000 all his life. But the idea is that you probably can do even better than that, even if you can't start with $2,000. Start with something if you can. The other thing is, let's say you're about here at year five. The chart doesn't show that, but that is about that's about $13,000 right there. Guy's done $2,000 for 5 years. He's put in $10,000. It's gotten to be about $13,000. Now you get to year five and you say, "Man, I've only been able to put in a few bucks every year. I'm nowhere near that. I've only got $3,000. I don't have $13,000." But you know what? I'm now at a point in my life where I've got a job, or I don't have expenses that are nearly as high as they used to be. I think I'm going to put in some more money. I'm going to put in $10,000 this year. I'm not going to put in $3,000. I'm going to put in $10,000 this year. Just this year. Then I'm going to get back on track. Well, what's happened is that you have suddenly brought yourself back up to speed. You are back on this chart. Instead of being at $3,000, you are at $13,000. You are at this dot, and you are on your way. Now, it gets harder and harder to do that the longer you wait. If you're now over here and you've only got maybe $10,000, then if you want to be at this point, you're going to have to put in, you know, $186,000 to raise that level. That's going to be tough to do. Down here, it's not so tough. Not so tough to catch up if you can't do it. But try to do it. The power of time is going to be if you start right here. Because the point that I really want you to get from this, and this is going to be one of the big points of the series, is starting early. The lesson we had last week on the spiritual aspects of money and savings, the spiritual aspects of the blessings money can bring you, the dangers of money, that is by far the most important thing we're going to talk about. If you didn't get a chance to hear it, go to the website, please, and listen to that podcast, MP3, and get that if you can, because that is going to be the most important thing we talk about. But this is going to be one of the next most important things. Start while you're young, because you guys, all of you here, no matter how much money you have or don't have, no matter how your prospects look right now, even if they don't look so great for money, you guys all have a gift right now that I do not have, at least not as much, that Ken doesn't have, and that Mr. Prentice doesn't have. You've got time. You've got time on your side. If we were to start right now, today, 2008, I was going to invest, if God gives you a normal human lifespan, you have got a lot more time for your money to grow than I do. I don't have that kind of time anymore. I don't have 45 years. It's not going to happen for me. So if I haven't started by now, I'm in a bit of trouble. I'm 34 years old right now. So let's say if I haven't started at all, then I've got age 65. I've got 31 years left to go. So let's say, so this is a chart, 45 years, but I'm starting, I've only got 31 years to invest. What is my chart going to look like? Well, instead of 45, I've got 31, so knock off 14 years. You don't knock it off the left, you knock it off the right. So I'm going to come over here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. About $300,000 for me if I start right now. And I'm only 34. I mean, that's not that old. But if I hadn't started now, I've lost all of that. All of that opportunity is gone to me. So, that's about all I've got for today. Take this chart in here. I've got some handouts for you all to take on your way out. Copies of this chart, because I want you to see it and remember it. But try to start as young as you can. Time is on your side. So you can't do 2,000, that's okay. Do what you can. Let it start now. So.
Just mention one thing. I'm obviously the oldest one in here, so.
I wasn't going to say anything.
That's true. Well, it's true. I'm not ashamed of it. But we started when Jonathan was born, which was, we were like 25 when we started. And we didn't put that much away, but we made an effort to put some away each month. And that, this is so important. It really is. Big priority would be to set your own financial goals. What do I want to do with this? You know, and have, you know, that emergency fund is really important all throughout your life. But be thinking down the road for, you know, at this point in our lives, we had college funds for the guys that we started early. And we put $500 aside when Jonathan was three and Bradley was one. When Bradley's getting married, we never touched that money. He's getting married in 2 weeks. So that money is now, it was worth almost $5,000, and that's their wedding gift. We just put that aside 20 years ago, never touched it, and now it's, that's a real nice gift to have now. And so, of course, Bradley's wanted to dip into it many years, never has, but I'm just saying, you know, the interest, you know, that you can earn is just incredible, and it's not, you know, it's not anything to, you know, just sneeze at or anything. It is important to start early and set financial goals when you get to this point in your life and you want to do things to help other people. There's people that have financial need in the church and you want to be able to just anonymously give some money to these people, or there's somebody who wants to go to Christian school and can't afford it. You can do things like that, or there's a special project of, like a translation situation in China that we want to give extra money to. You know, that money is there. And so set your financial goals for what you want to do with it. That's important. It's not just to save it so you've got, you know, money in there at the end for retirement, which is real nice. But there are a lot of other things God can use your money for over the years, too. And I think it's important to set financial goals for that as well. And so that was just kind of a testimony there.
So. Yeah. Do y'all have any other questions, Kim's?
Something you mentioned that I thought was very important. He said, the only difference between hoarding and saving is attitude. And we see that in the scriptures. We see talk of the man who said, oh, I've accumulated more wealth. Let me go build more bins to save all of my money. You know, and that's spoken of in a bad way. That's,
right.
That's not a proper attitude. But the example that he gives about Joseph's time in Egypt and about preparing while times are good, you know, not just splurging, but saving up for times when they're lean and you'll need it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very different attitude and purpose.
That's right.
What they're doing. And there's examples in Proverbs of the same thing, of telling us to look to the ant and other
right.
examples. In scripture. So I think that's a very important point about the attitude and really the motive behind what you're doing.
Yeah, we certainly don't want to become just rich fools who have our $1.1 million at the end of our life and then we die with nothing because we've put our trust and our faith and our hope in money. But on the other hand, you know, you guys may find it hard to give a whole lot to causes you may want to, whether it's the compeers or things you know about outside of our church or others. But you know, when you're getting to the end and you're making $83,000 for nothing, just letting your money grow and just watching it, it becomes a lot easier to do things that you want to do to help people with when you've got that kind of money. Money will give you opportunity to help people in ways that your brethren who don't have money won't be able to do. And it's fun to do too. So, thanks guys. That is it. Let's close in prayer then, and we will be dismissed. Father, we thank you for the wisdom that those who have had years of experience can give us. We thank you for Dave Ramsey and for also the experience of others from this class who can help us, who were a bit younger, to understand how to use our money wisely. We pray that you would give us wisdom, that you would help us to be able to do these sort of things so that money would not become a temptation in our life as we struggle with not having it, with wondering how we're going to be able to pay for things. Father, we again pray that you would give us grace if money does accumulate and we do become wealthy, that you would help us to deal with that money wisely, put it to good spiritual use, that it would not become a snare for us, but that it would become a source of great good for us and great good to your church and to causes that serve your kingdom throughout the world. Pray for your blessing on all these young people here, Lord. Pray that you would be with us in the service to come. In Christ's name, amen. Thanks, guys.